Hello and welcome to Tax Invoice, the ATO's official podcast. Here at the ATO, we want tax and super to be as easy to understand as possible. So we've invited industry experts to sit down with ATO's senior leaders and ask them the questions. We hope you enjoy this episode of Tax Invoice.
Hello, my name is Michael Croker and I'm the Head of Tax at Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand. And with me today is John Shepherd, the program lead for the Single Touch Payroll Project at the Australian Taxation Office. And this is part of our continuing conversation about the implementation of Single Touch Payroll and some of the issues that employers, tax agents, accountants, payroll providers, software developers, there's a whole range of people interested in this topic, John. So welcome back.
Thanks, Michael. It's great to be back talking to you. After our last chat, we covered some good territory.
So Australia's got the advantage of not being the first mover on this. The Brits have introduced what they call real-time information. The Irish are doing it. Over the ditch, the New Zealanders are doing this as well. Part and parcel of modernising tax administrations all over the world, in my view. And in that vein, what I think we've learnt from the UK is, firstly, don't rush at small business. And I think the Australian model, where we defer the start date for small businesses, less than 20 employees, until 1 July 2019, is a very good idea. I think the Brits had to pull back and almost apologise to their small business community for rushing it and making a few mistakes in the implementation phase. I think we'll learn a lot from the larger employer sector, the 20 or more sector, from 1 July 2018, and apply that learning to the small business sector. That was the first thing. The second thing was that there were some trends developing, I think, in the UK. There was a focus on looking at payroll service providers, and that's an interesting challenge and an opportunity for our profession. There is already a group of payroll service providers in the Australian community, and that's good, but there might be a greater focus on outsourcing and seeing who else can help with payroll. Educating the most important people, perhaps, and often the unsung heroes in all of this, are the people who work in payroll, making sure that they're educated, skilled up, coding things correctly in terms of a new technology and familiar with the technology, and having a service centre that they could call, particularly during the implementation phase. There was a sense that there was a lot of unanswered questions in the lead up to real-time information, and HMRC got a little bit of criticism about that. But what we're hearing from the ATO is a very strong focus on education, helplines, assistance for employers and advisors in the lead up to 1 July 2018.
Yeah, we've been watching, and certainly with great interest, some of the learnings that have come out of the UK and some of the recent reviews. And certainly one of my key takeaways from that was just how ambitious we are with our messaging once we start getting those reports. And as I mentioned, we've already got some people reporting early to us, and that's been a terrific learning ground around whether the information we're getting is what we expected, what kind of health checks and rules we build in, compliance checks over time, to be able to go back and provide queries, etc. And I think one of the key learnings I've had from reading some of the UK information and feedback is acknowledging that there will be anomalies that come through a pay process. If we question every single one of those, we will drive a lot of work back into those businesses, and that is certainly not where we want to be. We'll never, with the volumes we're talking about, we've got 72,000 employers, we believe, with 20 or more employees that will implement single touch payroll at some stage this year. We really just need to be careful about those interventions and then how we support people to settle in this reporting, but not send a lot of queries that really don't add a lot of value. So our system's very much built on correcting as you go, as you do in a payroll process anyway. So when you see an underpayment or an overpayment, it's often corrected either in the next pay period or in an out-of-cycle payment. And our design allows you to actually report those corrections or updates in the next pay period. So again, we will see some anomalies, but we need to start to get smart about which ones we actually question and which ones we just think will correct themselves.
So John, I'm not an IT guru, so can you just explain in simple terms how this all happens in a technology sense? What can I see on my screens if I'm the employer, the accountant, for example?
There is a change here too. What you'll see on your screen if you're the employer is pretty much what you'll see now on your payroll system. So this has been built in as an additional step. There will be an authorisation process there where each of these submissions to the ATO does need to be authorised by an authorised person in the business who's sending the data to the tax office. But that's not, I don't imagine that's much different for a lot of businesses who have an authorised person who pushes the bank file to the bank to pay people. That's an authorisation process of sorts too. I think the other key change here is that your payroll software will need a way to communicate to the ATO system to send this information. This won't follow the current process for the, I think it's the NDUP file, where employers currently send their payment summaries annual report to the ATO at the end of each year, and a lot upload that via our business portal. This change won't follow that business portal. It will require a connection from your payroll system to be able to send information each payday to the ATO. Now, there's a number of ways the payroll providers are doing this. Some are building that directly into their products. Some are actually using third-party data senders to be able to send that information through. Again, I think you just need to be, you do need to be talking to your payroll provider about how that's going to work for you, because we frequently get asked, can I upload this in the business portal like I do now? And the answer is no, this is a change as well. But more or less otherwise, what will I see in my payroll product? I'll be sending off my payslips to staff. Each payday, I'll be sending a file to the bank, as I do now, and there'll just be this one additional step where I actually are sending off the file to the ATO.
And I don't know if anyone's commented on this, John, but from an accounting perspective, the payroll function is often subject to internal audit processes. So anything that you can do to actually improve the visibility of those processes and allow them to be checked and monitored, I think that's a great outcome, not just for the, ATO's viewpoint, but also perhaps in streamlining things and making things more visible to in-house management.
No, totally agree. I think that idea of making things visible or putting a light on something does over time increase the quality and the processes around those things. And look, I know from a lot of the payroll people I've spoken to over the last 18 months, this is a very dedicated and hardworking profession. Not always the most highly resourced areas of businesses, but geez, they play a really important function around making sure people get paid correctly. And now they'll also be sending this information off each payday to the ATO. But making that visible then and having views of that available to tax practitioners and back to the employer, to the employee, I think can only be a good thing over time.
So there's lots of employee situations, John. Does your guidance material go through all of the 101 things that could happen in a payroll manager's experience, people taking maternity leave, people being paid bonuses, people departing this payroll and going on to an overseas payroll, on and on it goes. How thorough do you think you've developed all this guidance for payroll managers?
101 is probably a fair estimation. I think we have worked with industry very closely, and look, the ATO people that have been involved in this have learned a lot from our industry counterparts. We never could have done this on our own. So certainly we've worked closely to develop some of those scenarios, to understand those scenarios and how best to deal with them. And it's been a great learning experience. And our guidance does, we had to work out a lot of this stuff for the payroll software developers initially in terms of how they build those things into products to make them easy to use. But similarly, we've then taken that content and turning it into content for payroll areas and employers. And yes, there's a multitude of scenarios there that we cover, all those kind of idiosyncrasies and far, far more complexity in some of that than I ever would have envisaged. But it's been a great collaborative effort to actually bring that together.
The other thing we've been talking to accountants about is in your own practices, even small practices which have less than 20 employees, we've been suggesting that our members in public practice go early. There's nothing like learning from experience. So even if you have a small accounting practice with less than 20 employees, why don't you embrace single touch payroll early and learn from the experience of implementing it in your own business? And if you do have a few small clients who are savvy on the technology front and are keen to embrace the software, which as you say will largely be available from 1 July 2018, try and identify a pool of some of your smaller clients that may be prepared to go early and, again, learn from implementing. I think that would be an excellent outcome, both from the practitioner's viewpoint and from the ATO's viewpoint, because, as I say, we're all learning in that first year of implementation.
Now, you make a really good point. I think, you know, we don't emphasise probably enough that although this isn't, the message is around 20 or more employees, employers with less than 20 or 19 or fewer employees can start single touch payroll when they have a product, when their product's available and ready. So, and we will see that. We have seen in some of our early adopters that some of them are, what you said, people reporting on their own small business and their own employees. And there's nothing to stop employers with smaller numbers of employees coming in at any stage. They don't need to wait for July 19 for that.
Is there anything keeping you awake at night, if you like, about the implementation of single-touch payroll?
No, not really, actually. We are really seeing a real momentum shift here at the moment. As I said, we've got some employers reporting. We've got some payroll products are all talking about their plans. There's been lots of client conferences where those things are becoming clear now about how they're going to implement. And I think, you know, people are really understanding where this is heading and that it's a longer journey and the benefits will come over time, but it's actually a really good place to go.
And on the technology front, John, you know, let's be frank here. You probably hear it, I hear it. The ability of the ATO systems, the bandwidth, all the testing you've done, is it indicating to you that we have a system that's going to handle all of this data that's coming your way?
No, look, absolutely. We've done some scaling up on the technology side. We've done a lot of capacity testing and we're very much on top of that part of the process. Our design certainly supports employers to send their SDP reports. Again, whether or not there might be a planned outage, when that's sent through, we'll still receive it and we'll process it when it's available. So we've done a lot here to make this really work for employers and really reduce any impacts. The IT is in the background here, but very important, obviously, and the volumes and numbers we've been all over for a while, and we really have built some confidence here around our systems. We had a very good tax time last year, and again working towards a good tax time again this year. Just some reminders for people around some of these dates. We are heading towards 1 July 2018. Substantial employers, those with 20 or more employees, required to start reporting under single touch payroll from that date. You've mentioned the headcount. 1 April, that's a key date to make sure that to count your employees and check whether or not you're in this year or not. Our messaging continues to be work with your payroll software providers. They're at different states of readiness because they've got different complexities and different starting points on this. But have a look at our website. There is some really good checklists and material there now to start getting ready now and make sure you're in the best possible position to implement single touch payroll this year.
Well, thanks very much, John. That was very interesting, and I hope very useful information for our listeners today.
Thanks, Michael. As always, a pleasure and great to pick your brains as well on this initiative.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Connect with us on social media and tell us what you think. Download the transcript at ato.gov.au/podcasts.